My name is Frankie, and I have a trading problem.
Welcome back, welcome back. You're listening to episode 2 of the Trade Addicts Fix. My name is Frankie, and I'll be your host for tonight. I hope week 3 was just as lovely to you as it was for me. I don't know about you guys, but the first couple weeks had me second-guessing my process. It seemed like everything I said in the off-season was just not happening or not happening yet. I'm hoping it was the second option, and sure enough, week 3 came along and everything was back to normal. So now that week 3 is in the books, I just wanted to congratulate everybody who had Mike Evans or Keenan Allen in their lineup. And for you lucky souls who had both, well, you had a stress-free week to say the least. So here on The Fix, we're going to be going over the Monday night game and some of the hard-hitting, not-so-hard-hitting things that happened over the weekend. So let's rewind. So I got a few months back to the offseason when everybody had everything all figured out. Who were a few teams that you could really count on as far as fantasy production? Or at least you thought you could count on. Name them. What do you got? The Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Packers. But one in particular, I can't speak for everybody, but most of the community thought all systems go. Lock it in. Everybody. Evans, Godwin, Howard, Jameis. Now, if you still don't know who I'm talking about, we need to have a little talk. So this team in 3 weeks, I've learned, is going to be a value roller coaster. Just look at the numbers. Week 1, Godwin, 3 for 53, 1 touchdown. Evans, 2 for 28. OJ, 4 for 32. Week 2, Godwin, 8 for 121 and a touchdown. Evans, 4 for 61. OJ, nothing, nada. Week 3, Mike week-winning Evans, 8 for 190 and 3 touchdowns. OJ, 3 for 66, and Godwin, 3 for 40. Okay, now it doesn't take a genius to tell you that Godwin was sky high through 2 weeks, and Evans was really low. So why don't we trust our evaluations that we had just a month ago and go out and get Evans? But now it's too late. He blew up. It's too late. But, there is a plus side to this. If you wanted Godwin, go get him. His price dropped. Might not be a lot, but it dropped. So go get him. Now, what I'm saying about this Bucks team is that it's going to be up and down. So find the right time to buy. Find the right time to sell. I'm not saying sell him, but find the right time. Don't buy high. Just be smart about it. Now, is it just me or are we seeing like a LeGarrette Blount-esque type situation going on in San Fran? And sure enough, it's coming from the back we all suspected. Of course, Jeffrey Wilson, the Vulture. Now, I don't know if you can hear the hatred in my voice. That's because my breeder shares are pissed off. And this guy has 13 red zone carries. 13. He's only played in 2 games. 2 games, 13 red zone carries, 4 touchdowns. I mean, don't double check my math, but I'm pretty sure that puts him on pace for 32 touchdowns. Book it. I'm kidding. Don't go spending a 21st on him. Although it is something to keep an eye on. Shanahan's offense is sneaky good right now, and I can see them being in the red zone a lot. He's already came out and said that he likes him as a goal line back, so don't be surprised if he turns into what we all wanted Latavius to be. Now, what's going on with everybody wearing the stash? Is Minshew starting this whole movement? Or are we forgetting that Aaron Rodgers was rocking it forever now? Is he just not getting credit because he's not producing on the field? I don't know, but who cares? Aaron Rodgers. I'm not overly concerned about his lack of production, and you shouldn't be either. He's played some pretty stout defenses. Schedule only gets better. Look for him to have a pretty bounce back week coming up against Philly. So don't panic sell. If anything, you should be asking around, getting a price check from your league mates. And before we get into the Monday night game, I just want to remind everybody how treacherous my lineup has been. Last week, I had the Browns and Jets. This week, I have the Bears and the Redskins. Man, can't catch a break here. I guess if I'm being optimistic, I have the Steelers and the Bengals next week. On to it, though. So we have the Chicago defense-led Bears versus the winless Redskins. Now, if you've been following along to any of the Redskins games, which I don't know why you have been, but you've noticed that they've been playing fairly decent football in the first half of the game. Now, go ahead and take that information, crumble it up, and throw it away. Because completely different team here. Chicago came out and they just suffocated that offense. The Redskins couldn't do anything. They turned the ball over. They didn't have a run game. They couldn't throw the ball. That defense was just taking over the game. And it put the Bears in situations where Mitch didn't really have to do much, which is what you want to ask from that quarterback. Now, the Bears wound up winning this game 31-15, but there was a point in the game where I thought the Redskins would take it down and make it a ball game, take it down to a one-score game. But a Case Keenum-led offense will make mistakes, and that they did. And the defense caused the fumble on fourth down, recovered it, check and mate. Now let's go a little in-depth on the players and see how they did for your fantasy team. Mitch Trubisky, he went 25 for 31, 231 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 ugly pick, 1 carry, 2 yards. You know, for someone who's been starting him for the last 2 weeks, my expectations are pretty low. So for him to get me 20 points, I'm pretty happy about that. But watching the game, you know, the stats aren't everything. He looked ugly. He was missing a lot of throws. He could have kept drives going. The defense really bailed him out on this one, gave him some short drives. I don't know. Mitch is just not someone I'm trusting right now, even though I have to write him out every week. Montgomery. 13 carries, 67 yards for a hefty 5.2 YPC. 3 catches, 14 yards through the air, not bad. He's the best option in that backfield, and it's not even close. He's phased out Mike Davis already, but it seems like when one leaves, another one comes in. And that man is Cordero Patterson. He got 4 carries for 14 yards, and he was lined up in that backfield a lot more than I would like him to be. So, Nagy, please, you're playing yourself. Come on, man. Back to Montgomery. I want to go double-check the numbers, but he looked good, man. Every carry, it seemed like he was forcing at least one, if not two, missed tackles on every one. If you can somehow still buy low on that guy, it's just a matter of time before he takes over that backfield for good and they start producing. Did you start Tariq Cohen? Because if you did, I'm sorry. He was a no-show. 4 carries, negative 2 yards, 2 receptions, 26 yards. Not good. Not good at all. One receiver had a good day for the Bears, and it was the one that everybody needed. Yeah, right, if only. Chelly Gabriel had a day. 6 receptions, 75 yards, 3 touchdowns. Had that bomb, 10 and a half. The concentration was pretty good to get the feet down. Nice catch. Allen Robinson, 6 receptions, 60 yards. I mean, PPR, not hating it, but you're not loving it. We had a Anthony Miller sighting. 1 catch, 15 yards. Man, I don't know what's up with that kid. Trey Burton followed up his dud from last week with another dud. 4 receptions, 20 yards. If you have other options, I'd recommend using that until you see some kind of connection between him and Mitch. But other than that, we're done for the Bears. On to the Redskins. So I'm pretty sure Case Keenum wishes he can have this whole game just redone. He went 30 for 43 attempts. 43 times he passed the ball. 332 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 INTs, and 2 fumbles. That defense was just, like I said before, just smothering him. See, they didn't let him do anything. Now, the question was brought up in the Cool Kids Club. If you don't know what the Cool Kids Club is, check it out, patreon.com, Trade Addicts Pod. The question was about Keenum, and as a contender, are we buying him? What are we doing with him? And to me, if you have him now, I think you're stuck with him, because people know that Haskins is coming in sooner rather than later. They're 3-0, I'm sorry, 0-3, shout out Russ, that was the Russ line. They're 0-3, and they've got to give the kid a shot. I'd say Haskins comes in week 6 when they play Miami. They play New England week 5, so I don't think it's then. But possibly by week 6, they should be giving him a shot. You'd figure they'd be 0-5 by then.
nothing to lose.
Now, as far as the running backs go, Adrian Peterson continues to get most of the volume. 12 carries, 37 yards, one reception for negative 3 yards. But the back you want is actually Chris Thompson. He got 7 carries. He didn't do much with them, 29 yards. But he got 5 receptions for 79 yards. And you figure they're going to be down a lot. So game script alone is just going to feed Chris Thompson. He did pretty well with the catches that he had. So he's a good flex play from here on out if you got him. Now, there is a bright spot of this offense. The receiving core. Paul Richardson led the group. 8 receptions, 83 yards, 1 touchdown. He has a touchdown in back-to-back games. So I'm not sure if you can count on that type of production week in, week out. But in a good matchup, if you're in a pinch, bye weeks are coming, you might be able to throw him in. He does seem to have a pretty good connection with Case Keenum. But again, like I said earlier, we don't know how long Case Keenum's going to be there. Scary Terry. Is that what we're calling him? Scary Terry? F1? McLaurin? I don't know. 6 receptions, 70 yards, 1 touchdown. I really hope you got a piece of this kid in your rookie drafts because he is going to be good. And as far as your tight ends go, there's really nothing much going on here. Jeremy Sprinkle and Vernon Davis split reps. I guess Jeremy Sprinkle is one injury away from having a relevant role because it doesn't seem like Reed's coming back anytime soon. Just about does it for your Monday night recap. But a few takeaways that I got out of this game. It seems like they're trying to phase out Cohen in that offense. So if you can, go talk to your Montgomery owner and see how they feel about him. He hasn't really produced well, so they might be down on him. Try to buy low. And if the owner's not low on him, see what they want for him. Also, you're not out of the woodwork yet, Mitch owners. So don't be expecting 20 points a week because I doubt it's coming. I own Mitch quite a bit as well. So I'm going to try to shop him. I don't know what I can get. Just thinking out loud here. Would I swap Daniel Jones for him? I think I would. But I don't know if the owner would do that. So if I'm in the league with you, send me that offer. So on that note, guys, we are going to get up out of here. But before we go, I was going to ask the network before, but like I always said, it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. We are going to be doing that weekly IDP shout out every Monday. So today, we're going to give a shout out, show some love to Khalil Mack. He was wrecking some havoc today. 3 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Nothing new to this guy. He does it week in, week out. And we are done. So go show your support, guys. Sign up on Patreon. Trade Addicts Pod. Trade Addicts wristbands. Get them from Brian. Trade Addicts t-shirts. StoneMB.com. I'm your host, Frankie M. You can find me on Twitter at FrankieSaysFF. Tag me in all your polls. Start sick questions. All that good stuff. Go follow our main guys, if you're not already, at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian RFF. Thanks for listening. Night, guys.